I forgive you for that. I forgive you for that. This is called Yesteryear 63. And it's, I was 11 years, maybe 10, 10 or 11 in 1963. And basically it's just scattered memories from that time. Scattered words, life and loves, death and birth, and curly words. Babies crying, parents row, lovers laughing, marriage vows. An old man dying, honey bees, blackbird singing, autumn leaves. Breaking news, USA, Charles Mitchell, JFK. Dogs barking, St. Stephen's night. Pockets full, Christmas delight. Horse and cart, milk round, no school today, snowy ground. Big black Ford and penny bars, cowboy boots and mother's arms. Thank you.
Linda Edison. I was going to say I fell in love with Paris, but Amy stole my line first. But dude, I went in July and I just fell in love with the place. To walk by Gertrude Stein and Picasso and Ernest Hemingway, it was just Shakespeare and everything, it was the whole thing. So I started a sequence of poems, the Paris Sketchbook, and this is called Pastiche. I better do it this way because Amy's going to take a photograph.
Okay.
I must say, I absolutely hate having my photograph taken.
Yeah, that's a joy, Amy.
Paris opened as a book under my skin. A movable feast, Hemingway once said. There is no war under my skin, only art that sometimes speaks of war. In Eglise, Saint-Julien-le-Pauvre, the first six notes of Bach's Marcello, Adagio, chime with Notre Dame. A note cannot play without the air, and the air was filled with hibiscus. Paris is a panacea, my alter ego blossoming as sweet as spring on Sunday stroll in Jardin de Luxembourg with Antonia. Along the Seine, unblemished bathers in July's La Plage, promenade next to drowsy heat of the afternoon, right and left bank booksellers, and posters of Le Chat Noir, Pont-Neuf, a synapse lay between. I watched the way the light fell, and I fell into myself, and it felt good, and it felt strong. I watched sober shadows from second-story windows at La Palette, etched into lithographs at Musée d'Orsay, in the same room as Mademoiselle Chanel's nonchalant eyes, half sleeping, half remembering the protagonists at Rue de Seine more than a generation ago. I wandered into antiquity, a milieu of veined alleyways, leaning into the bow of Ile Saint-Louis. I searched for lost time, à la recherche du temps perdu, with Proust and Jean-Paul Sartre. Unconscious belly pop minds unleashed, along with espressos and coq au vin at Café de Flore. I turned away from the rifle gendarmes and unrest, opened my book and began to sketch.
And Donna, you have been taken to Paris twice tonight. Owen Crowley? Where's Owen?
Go ahead. on Rare on Pat's name to view from Lunatic Asylum Dormitory 9. Three stores she is, I was starting in the our old arsement, Sidorka. Three stories down, and a man lying on a concrete yard with tall walls. The break on moor, the bullet moor, a fasteller. The grey rooks with their great bellies waiting on him. John McBride, Chief of Staff, IRA. Nobel Peace Prize winner, Lenin Peace Prize winner. Vasily Shostakovich, school people in the Mollege, Iganis, came to make sure lifted law and order. Like Shostakovich, a toothbrush in his briefcase, not knowing night or day when he would be lifted. On Gardikar, on Dr. Rusin, on Fiklor, and Clown Nikita. The Garda car, the noble doctor, the dentist, the family together. She shocked in his deep in Chema. 6 weeks inside, it'll do him good. Ard Mera, Tomas McCurtain, Ard Mera, Terence McSweeney, Diox Marillat, Unbargas Cookie, King Street Station, Royal Irish Conservatory, Blackened Faces, Jury Return, murdered by Crown Forces, Tomas McCurtain, McCurtain Street, Garda Station, men leaps from upstairs window, impaled on railings. All that remains on the hoarding mould basement, initials chalked, CYM, Connolly Youth Movement. Lovely is my Lee, lovely are my purple headed hills, lovely is my Lee, the Parkin, Ginny.
This one is about a political figure of, well, long ago, Garrett the Good. Not so long ago, in Dáil Éireann, a crumpled middle-aged, sloped-shouldered man stood up and said at me, "You must up sticks and go, young man, for Ireland cannot afford the likes of you." As it turned out, several years and many billions of pounds later, the country couldn't afford Gareth Fitzgerald.
Emer Lyons.
I can see Blue Sky by Inchiquila. My father's mother's brother left carnival drunk in marshland after his lids were drawn down over long milky eyes. There'll be no more tractor rides. Great-grandmothers and friends are lost to the same fate. She did away with herself. I gasp down the tsunami of pain. It leaks out destruction, it stains. Long past the fact of the matter, I venerated her threshold where she ate quail alone at Christmas. What would I have done with divine omniscience? Now acres are written off, permanently out to pasture, like the bachelors and spinsters living together, building aeroplanes in garages and preserving jam for winter. I roam their lands looking for ring forts and flocked fias, avoiding the eyes of cattle with their penchant for stalking, the trees growing wide, not tall like it seems. Engravings proclaiming love and friendship remain intact, no mind for the decay of reality. I scratch her name into the widest trunk I find, in a land drowning in archaeology. But all the land in the world couldn't bring her back from that desperate place. I can see Blue Sky by Inchiquila, as her face fades away. Thank you, Michelle. And this is called Space Watching. A generous nature apocalypse is a dream of colossal cities, madness and glory, protein atrocities, sacrifice at will. Horrible answers still out of the woods yet. Voyage of the damned, numbering the books. Quantum methods, rocket science, the exact. A man chewing a job like no other. A small sacrifice roaring snow. Lack of a marathon, storing for show. Last of Latter-day pagans dries out. Homebrew solution, dissolving the immediate. Understanding a walk in the dark woods. Witnessing discontent, free meals aside. Connecting with the largest point invisible. Companion as to a satisfied holy ground. Strange landscape it is, like no other. Historic cataclysms frightening the dawn, hating the suzerains and for shelter. Stone temples disorganized fight the corner, at set points faithful accord to ceremony. Ancient ritual forgotten still resurrected. The last fighting tomcat, linking destruction. Stinks past decorum, holding its own. A body by codes no one else knows. A functioning mammal, child of the universe, rocket boys and girls exploded at a peak, gaily excusing history for the sake of peace. Dynastic dreams, watching the skies, Ireland sober being Ireland free. We talk about the ex installment, a fait accompli. Smoke and tattoos, clamour for attention, researching language for otherwise diaries, meant for our betters, fire with fury. A life of way, costing Einstein's enemies. Time and space, too little for the present. Staring at the black, a cloudy prism. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Thanks, we have Matthew Moynihan.
I am not my disease. I am not a ghost of my old self. I do not hate other people. I do not hate myself. When the wind blows forth, I am but a flickery wick. When the sun burns alive, I am a believer. When the light shines bright, I am found. For I was lost beneath the war-torn soil. For I was dead inside the rotting bark. I was scarred inside. I found that there is a comfort in the shadows, a pleasure in the darkness. I found that there is a solution to my sadness, a potion for my madness, a recipe for gladness. I have not got scars. I have war tattoos.
You don't see many people busking with poetry these days, but Matthew, Admire Me did so over Christmas, so well done. Woo! Woo! So, when the spotlight is on? Thursday the 19th is another poetry event that's going to be on in the Haven Cafe, so Matthew is fronting that. Sean Bent.
Woo! Michelle. Woo!
Yeah, you're cheering now, but just wait. I'll do two relatively short poems. This first one is, if you're ever up at 3 a.m. just staring at Facebook and feeling kind of depressed, this is the poem you might write. Words that fade into nether, worlds that span forever, in an isolationist's head unfold in the midst of bedtime. The creation of beauty is all that's left to pursue in the absence of friends, in the absence of external light. In the spaces of creation lay a face that talks of meaning, existences beyond the self, in an outer world of feelings that live beyond this imagination. Maybe concrete and real, reachable in theory, yet tedious in their own deliverance. Tonight, nothing is found but utterances that lack sound, a jab into the unknown to ease the loads of living. Load of living. Thank you. And this next one is called Questions and the Great Answer. Have you ever met someone whom you could sense you could fall in love with them, but circumstances meant you could never do so without inducing a complicated set of expectations that could never be met by you or them? Have you ever spent years rejecting love as a conceptualization of trust and devotion that you yourself could not hold yourself to, because you could not trust the idea that someone else could want you back like you wanted them? Have you ever said nothing, where every part of you says, say something, because to speak in that moment is to overblow that piece of infatuation you feel, and you didn't want to reveal your inner fucked up soul? Have you ever looked back at a moment like that and thought, then, that was the make or break second to say the words that would make all the difference and lift this life you've led into the one you wanted? Have you ever looked back at all that's passed and spotted 10 or so parts of that past that have left and finished, concluded and delivered their final verdict and thought, that was the time to act, and you didn't? If your answer to these questions is no, then you're one of the lucky ones. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. There's a scribble. I don't think it's a name. I think it's just a scribble.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's great. You were claiming the scribble. Yeah. Well, your actual name is under that, so.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Claire, please.
Okay, so this poem is, I was living over in England well back, and I just felt pretty out of place over there, and that I was distancing myself a lot more from myself, and that I was kind of diluting in a way. So, loneliness is not a condition, it's a temperament. A gallon injected suffuses the red clot with strands of white soldiers. My bloodline is serrated. Pilfered dimes prized from the album. The crest buried into my skin. My identity swivels in a polluted stream. A brute macabre sanctioned by a British cordon. My hold has semi-faltered as I tirelessly defend my heritage. My tongue's christened the bayonet, killing me.
Kenny Morris?
Yeah.
Kenny Morris.
She's here. Sorry, I'm either may indulge you in four short ones written between 2013 and 2014. The first one is actually is a childhood memory. Her name was Blue Susan, but my secret nickname for her was... Her name was Susan, but my secret nickname for her was Blue Susan. This was for a reason. She had a hole in her heart. One day, I overheard my mother and midwife say to her mum, Doreen, over the garden fence, that she was going to have to be strong and accept that wee Susan was a child on borrowed time. She was my firstest friend, both of us 4 years of age, inseparable, true love. Together we used to kick the roses and run as they were full of bumblebees, until one day one chased me, and before I had reached our garden gate, stung me cruelly on my right ear. Oh, hot, throbbing and stinging. Oh, it hurt very much. I told Susan that I had learned two lessons from it. One, respect Mother Nature. And two, the bee has a brain. From that day on, I began to collect dead bees. I placed them in the matchboxes, kept them in the garden shed, and would bring them out sometimes and stroke their velvety backs, subconsciously not realizing how like miniature coffins they were. Susan always called me Yenny, as she couldn't say Kenny, and I would add a letter D at the end of most words. Reading to her from my noddy book, I go, I'm cleaning my card and making it shine. Oh dear little card, I'm so glad you are mine. One more thing. Beauty was the culprit. Through the icily bitten, stricken days of failing words, we held our cards so closely, watching one another through a fog of imagined voices. Big blocks of sound, a punch of sharp glass shards from a neighbor's window, fleeting slices of light in the night. Beauty was the culprit. That's how easy it wasn't to kill herself. Between the fusion of sweaty armpits, the quandary of truth, wonder of youth, the falling, failing, falling and ascending penultimate waves all shot to bell of love not given lightly. One lost unravelling fingerless glove, crab walked its way along a hissing, hazy, outback railroad track. Death was everywhere. A banshee combed her oiled black hair. A leery saxophone, a sexy moan, sound of empty bottles tumbling down the foam. Were you ever so alone? No.
Thanks, Kenny. Yeah, so we've quite a few to get through on your mic tonight, so sorry for putting you short, Dave. Charles Clark, please.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to hear anything by me, even something you've heard before. My provisions this afternoon didn't go anywhere, not far enough anyway, so I picked up something. John Batchelor, very late work, absolutely collected poems. And this has got a little note at the bottom which says, it was a Christmas-type custom at Beaumaris, Anglesey, for the Queen of the Hunt Ball to throw heated halfpennies from a shovel to the crowd below. Beaumaris, December the 21st, 1963. Low shot light of a sharp December, shifting, lifting a morning haze, opening fans of smooth seawater, touched in silence the tiny bays. In bright Beaumaris, the people waited. This was Laura Lee's day of days. At the northern end of the street, a vista of sunlit woodland, the south, the tower, across the water from Hanson's Terrace, the last reflections of Penman Moor. High on the balcony, Laura Lee Williams, waved the shovel and shot the shark. Down on us all fell heated halfpence, up to us are all, we look for more. Laura Lee Williams, lovelier now than ever before, with your straight black hair and your fresh complexion, diamond bright as a bridge, the big brooch.
Diamond rifles, brooch. Sorry, I didn't get that right. Brooch. 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 You wore. Life be kind to you, Laura Lee Williams. But girlhood over and marriage begun. Chewing for buses and rearing children. Washing the dishes and missing the fun. May you still recall how you flung the coppers on bright Omaris in winter sun.
Thanks, Jess. I was really trying to figure out what a brooch was for a while. Philip Spillan.
So I found a great website. This website, when you type down a word, it turns it upside down. So it's brilliant. And I said, I got to write a poem around this. I got to write a poem, and then it turns it upside down. Brilliant. So so the actual poem is actually the right way up and it's upside down. But it still sounds like a great poem when you read it out, so please enjoy. She had opened a mental crack. She can fall under a captured light, a vivid piece of symbolic alert to warn she had fallen under a dimmer light. The room was tiled with mirrors, and she was dancing with her doppelgangers, but her shadows were more synchronized than any of her reflections. Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. This was written for a friend of mine who has extended her kitchen, but I read more into it. It's called Digging Deep. And there's a little epigram at the beginning. At Bollinger, I am in the midst of my true life. I am most deeply myself. Carl Gustav Jung. Space and light expand the soul, remold the shell of bricks and mortar. Break the confines of what is, curving corners, finding new alignments. Such excavation in the later years is rarely tried, and only by the brave. Jung built his tower at 48, reflecting his inner life in its construction. It would have been easy to let things lie, settle for a patched-up pattern without any painful reappraisal of what had been laid down. It takes courage to peer through cobwebbed cracks, pull away mouldering joists, root out rotting timbers that failed to sustain the weight of new awareness. Once old walls tumble, to begin again, find purchase in a new foundation. No matter what the cost. Expansion, mirror of an open heart, offers the vision of a wider sweep, a center radiating flare and warmth, creating extra room for cherished ones to fill the house with love and laughter. Thank you.
We still have 7 readers left, so if we can just work together so everybody can get their opportunity to read. I have Mike Nooner, I think it is. Is it Nooner?
He's there. if you don't, this poem, this is about when I was younger, before the modern milking powers came in, it's about the old style. There was a milking machine called the Sugg's Melat, and it was a silver bucket and was belted under the cow's stomach, and then the milk was poured into the cans and an ink can cooler, so this poem was about that. I hear it still, the hum of the Sugg's Melat. Heads jammed between 4x2s, they stand quietly. Belts buckled under bellies hold up buckets of frothy liquid. Cool water drips out to warm aluminium. Don't leave it on too long, someone shouts, it'll turn into butter. Cats with peering eyes wait their turn. Rinsings offer hope to empty bellies.
Jack Orange? John Orange, sorry.
My friend told my name dog and probably spoke in charge. This is Shark and Sweet and myself. It's got two good qualities at least. I've made an art of surviving some of the toxic territories in the landscapes of my mind. It's not easy to escape, a labyrinth takes a long time to unwind. Instead of going round and round, I'll try and go up or down, up to the higher mind or down to the root, holy and shining as above so below. The reflection in the window is of something true and real, but it's not something you see, it's something you feel.
Callum, it's a very strange one. De Goolings, there's an apostrophe. Callum De Goolings is not here. Okay, we go. Is Carol here?
I think it's gas that you can live in a country where you can get anything you want with hummus and possibly paprika if you touch a couple of buttons, and then about 20 minutes later touch some more buttons. But then at the same time in that country you can have a ghost estate crisis and a homelessness crisis at the same time. Just gas. Really. Fun one. And then you can also have a birth like rate increase and an increase in loneliness at the same time, which is also fucking gas. But they're not just call it quits, those wandering under grey, sweating day by day in the haze, held ransom to which they gaze, more than just a phase, they feel their way. They know it's paved. If just a corner of a cage is lit, three quarters of it looks like freedom, feels endless. For whom the sun would seldom grace their stage, the feel of their face would recall to them their age. Knowing the cues to go and waiting so, at the end of day they know the light that gives them clearance. The moon might make an appearance, whose days would be known as empty, full of all so tempting, holding nothing, knowing no one, glowing seldom, always smoking. Full of tales of their dearest, for whom it's clearest, the moon might make an appearance, rephrasing rhymes of past troubled times, not to be noticed for what they've become but what they were once. With no knowledge of the sun, they seem to fear it. Still the moon might make an appearance. For every moment they've spent alone, every cry to an unanswered phone, every habit to which they're prone, the empty houses they call, the empty rooms they call their home, the smoke-filled palaces they stone. the shining streets empty where they roam, for whom the midnight bell tolls so clear, for them the moon might appear.
Count de Gouli is here. Okay.
Sorry, I timed that really bad. It's very long as well, so just cut me off if I'm kind of rambling away. Willow United, the Dawn Chorus Confessional. Willow United, the Dawn Chorus Confessional of the Foreign Games and Far-Fetched Inventions. We listened on enjoying our freedom, learning songs through a more communal medium. Dark mornings confused the Icarus choir, the day was late in its November laziness. Plodding along, he dreams of Americana, Pele drinking chocolate, or one day he would invent the jukebox and I didn't need any money, and it would be no more the size of a pack of fags. You could carry it in your pocket, the last part of his invention he was having trouble with. How would he patent it in a way in which only he and him alone could hear the music? It would be safer if his neighbour Bobcat Collins didn't hear his records. He had managed to retrieve a submerged Slim Whitman, but Nancy Sinatra ended up in the murky depths of the black water. Philip Simon Collins didn't like music, uncanny, so-called Bobcat, because he wore drone cats for a fiver without a shudder of remorse. A shudder of remorse. Watching him from the river, he would weep and beg. We wept like the widow that watched over their fate, that the Icarus choir takes the boy's attention from winter's grip. Lady Wagtails, careless. The jukebox of light projects itself from a beach of the Sally Alba, the Talina Tristis, like a Mardi Gras atop a branch, a saloon and a sailor. Thanks very much.
Yes, we have Bernadette Gallagher.
Not a stir. The air is cold, sneaking down my buttoned-up jacket. Mist covers the valley like a Chinese landscape. The sun behind a haze of cloud later will throw a light over the fields and copper hedging, through the forest floor, as a fox serenely walks across his territory, not my garden. A bird splashes, bathes over and over in a flower pot saucer as I wait for the frog of yesterday to reappear. Thank you.
Paul Curley, please. Paul is having a cosmic to the museum of the professor
here. You're on his beard, thank you. From that one, I didn't bother, and I didn't open until this morning that I was going to be here. It's a pleasure to be here, this cool thing, man. Let's just gather myself here. Okay, I'll just go on from memory, so real quick, because you're all awake now. I take a taxi ride, paid driver, drive on through the night. He said, son, you travel light, what if crash tells him I survive? Son, take off that mask, knife, pan, bank job, psychopath. We go up in smoke, we leave, we retro cash pay, all we breathe. See me, I Apache chief, on mountaintop, smoke pipe of peace. We see things with our eyes, renegade blade raised up and wide. We're speeding, man, straight on flies, the tech noir shadow passed us by. There is this neon sign in my rainy sky, it says I'm doing fine. We sheltered in smoke cafe, a yield a Muslim, a right of way. What would your neighbors say? We live a poison their display. But we cannot go outside without the bags of blow on mine. But if she's in pain, I'll breathe fire. You don't draw on the flaming end to get higher. You can travel around the world, but you gotta carry it with you. Perfect girl, because all your bullshit's on fire. Thank you.
Thank you. Rab has just run out.
Rab, run back in there.
Rab, will you wrap us up?
Rab, you want to wrap us up? Come on.
You want to buy your man?
Come on. The man on the phone, Rab! The man on the phone, Rab!
Sadness and happiness in between gulf, two points divided by a wide, deep ocean. Losing and loving our sadness and happiness. Losing and loving our deep like the ocean, strong like the waves. Losing and loving and sadness and gladness. Happiness. Go and come back again. Woo!